at Voices Radio Network.
Hey, what's up, guys? Welcome back to Drugs and Stuff with Dave Crossland. I'm Scott McNally. This program is brought to you by TrueNutrition.com. You could use our code ADVICES for some additional savings on high-quality supplements from a company that you can trust. I'm going to talk more about that later this week. I just placed a new order with them. What's up, guys? Dave Crossland, what's going on, man? You're under the weather, huh?
I just got a bit of a cold, that's all.
Yeah?
Did a seminar down in Taunton, down in Dorset over the weekend. Very good seminar. It went really well, but... just a lot of driving and not much sleep, and it just seems to have sort of tipped me over the edge with this cold. But it's raining, it's windy, I feel like shit, so I'm just feeling sad and sorry for myself and being pathetic. That's all it is.
That's just pitiful. That's just terrible, Dave. We're going to make this a really quick show today. We had a couple things that we wanted to touch on. We have one question that I thought would be worth to bring in and make a topic out of it. That topic is gynecomastia. Do you need surgery in order to remove it? So we're going to cover that today. But also, the latest Drugs and Stuff has just dropped. Dave, you dropped a bomb on that episode, which is the previous episode now, basically saying that anybody who hasn't heard it yet, that raw powders from China are basically going to be shut down. Do you have any update on this?
Not really. The reasons for it seem to be, so far we've got that exportation was previously legal and is now banned. Okay. We've got that it was already banned but not enforced, but now they're enforcing it along with SARMs.
Mm.
We've got that this is a part of the drive for this is to reduce emissions from the factories that make all this stuff. So obviously they're trying to regulate it more strictly.
Right.
We know there's been international pressure. So there seems to be several stories floating around about what the drivers behind this are. But ultimately, a large number of suppliers have turned around and said, we ain't doing it.
No kidding. Okay.
There's a couple that appear to be saying they will still supply. At the moment, feelers are out for alternatives. I know people are looking at Ukraine, though personally that's not an area I'd particularly like to trust. No, nothing against Ukrainian people, by the way, before anyone says that. Just more before I get shouted at for saying something I haven't said.
Dave's racist.
Yeah, very, extremely. Did you see that court case in America? I think he was an army sergeant, and he was accused of racism.
No.
And he successfully proved that he wasn't racist. He hated everybody equally.
You're kidding me.
No, and that's my standpoint. I'm not racist. I just hate everybody equally.
Yeah.
Anyway, the other sort of areas are India seems a very obvious one, and to me would be the most likely area that people are going to go. Thailand and Malaysia are the other two countries that have been mentioned as alternatives. I think come whatever happens, come January the 1st, that initially all roars out of China are just going to stop.
Okay.
Some may trickle back in shortly after. If we went on what's happened in the past, it'd be quiet for a month and they'd just be back to normal. But they seem adamant this time that it's definitely stopping.
Interesting.
So we've just got to wait and see, really. But there's going to be some disruption. There's no two ways about it. Some labs have managed to prep a bit. I know a couple that are stocked up for 10 months. Others will get caught on the op and just won't be able to get enough in.
Yeah.
So definitely a time to be wary of what you're getting anyway.
Yeah, more than usual even.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that'll be interesting. I reached out to a couple people. I haven't heard anything back yet myself. I'll be interested to see if I can find out any further details. I like you're saying, I know that China isn't the only player in this game, but they are the biggest. So there's definitely going to be, you know, some major changes here, regardless if this all goes through. Question of the day is gynecomastia. We had a listener reach out, and his question was basically cut, dry, simple. And I know that there's no simple answer to it, but I thought it'd make for a good topic discussion. Gynecomastia, can you get rid of it without surgery? Is there any other option besides going under the knife for this one, Dave?
I think one of the problems with this is that what a lot of people refer to as gyno isn't. The process starts with inflammation of the gland.
Sure.
And then if that's not dealt with, eventually tissue will start to form.
Yeah.
So what a lot of people regard as gyno is actually just inflammation of the gland.
Mm.
It's not the formation of tissue.
Okay.
And that inflammation can carry on for quite some time. So as far as I'm aware, once tissue is formed, you can't get rid of it unless you surgically remove it.
It's growing. It's literally, yeah, it's tissue in your body. You know, there isn't going to be a drug to reverse it. Now, you do bring up a great point, inflammation. If you get an inflamed gland, which would be, you know, the early stages of getting gyno, that can be reversed. I've seen guys say, oh, hey, yeah, I got gyno, and then I, you know, I took letrozole, blew my estrogen out of the water, and I reversed it. I would have to think that that person didn't have any tissue deposited to begin with, but damn, you'd have to catch that real early, right?
Well, yeah, but the other thing as well is when tissue forms, that tissue is inflamed.
Okay.
So even when tissue's forming, if you run letrozole, you will stop, obviously you will stop the tissue from forming anymore, but you will also reduce the size because you reduce the inflammation in that tissue.
That makes sense.
So then you go down to what has actually formed. And this is where it confuses a lot of people because they will get inflammation. And like you said, they'll take letrozole or even just Adex and or just start some estrogen control. And the glands will then reduce back down to size because all they've done is inflamed and they think that's reverse gyno. It hasn't. It's just reduced the swelling. But then you'll get those where tissue has formed and they'll take letrozole or Adex or whatever. And what will happen is the lump will remain, but it will reduce significantly in size.
Yeah.
And that's because, again, they've reduced the inflammation in the new tissue. They've not reduced the tissue.
Yeah. So I'm going to back us up here for just a second. I'm sure that everybody knows what, you know, we're talking about. But we did have, you know, Maya Underwood had said that sometimes our shows leave people behind, people who aren't following along that don't know some of the terminology we're using. Have you heard her say that, Dave? She said,
I haven't spoke to her in ages, actually. I need to catch up with her, how she's doing.
Well, if you talk to her before me, let me know, because we've been trying to schedule a phone call for a couple of weeks now. But, you know, the point being, though, that so gynecomastia, just basically what you're getting is what, Dave? We're looking at an increased conversion of test to estrogen in most cases, and then that estrogen is affecting the mammary gland and, you know, basically growing a breast the way that a woman would when she hits puberty, right?
Yeah, we all start life as females in the womb, and that's why men have nipples. And then at 4 to 6 weeks, the womb is flooded with testosterone, and those that have the right chromosomes become male. Those that don't remain female. So that breast tissue in males never forms.
Mm.
So the gland's there, but the tissue, now we don't grow breasts when we go through puberty because it's testosterone that spikes in a male, not estrogen. However, if you elevate estrogen at a later date, and generally that is from uncontrolled levels due to the fact that you're taking testosterone and it's converting to estrogen via the enzyme aromatase in your body, then those high levels of estrogen can trigger that breast tissue to start to grow.
Mm.
It will start initially as a swelling as the gland inflames, and then if that's not treated, it will eventually start to form tissue. That tissue will also swell. So it will appear larger than it probably really is. And it starts as a lump. And generally what you'll feel is itchiness or sensitivity of the nipples. Once the tissue has formed, though you can reduce the swelling in the tissue, which will make it appear smaller, you can't remove the tissue using any sort of drug. The tissue has to be surgically removed.
Yeah.
In extreme cases, I have seen gyno where it's literally hanging, you know, and they look like a pair of spaniel's ears.
Absolutely. Spaniel's ears.
In very, very severe cases. Now, the other thing is the effect of prolactin in this case can cause the lactation as well. So effectively, you start to produce milk. Now, where there is a lot of dispute and where we see anecdotal evidence from bodybuilding conflicting with science is when it comes to prolactin and gyno.
Okay.
Now, generally speaking, within medical terms, high prolactin does not cause gyno. But I've seen it numerous and numerous and numerous times where people have started to feel and get swelling of the nipple. They've had high prolactin. They've brought cabergoline in. They've reduced their prolactin. Mm-hmm. And the nipple has then reduced. The swelling has then reduced. I actually don't think it is prolactin that's the trigger. I think it's progesterone.
I could see that, yeah.
So I think the two triggers for gyno are primarily estrogen, but also progesterone. And high progesterone will often reflect in elevated prolactin levels. But I don't think it's the prolactin, which is why when we see medical cases of high prolactin, which is caused without high progesterone, we don't see gyno, because the prolactin itself is not the trigger. It's the progesterone that's the trigger that's also triggering the high prolactin.
Now, if you see like lactation, which can happen, then we're talking prolactin, right?
Yeah, then we're talking prolactin, yes.
But that in itself is not gyno. So no. you get gyno, say you're using especially like one of the big culprits would be something like D-ball. You know, you have that fast high conversion rate to estrogen. You find that this is, you know, you get this itchy, this tenderness. You see maybe even some visible swelling. Now, backing up to what you were saying before, Dave, you're thinking that maybe at that point, this is not quite gyno. This is the warning sign to tell you it's happening. This is going to happen.
Yeah.
Tissue is going to be laid down if you don't change this now, right?
Yes.
I could go with that. Fair enough.
Which is why you hear so many people reporting, I took letrozole and I got rid of it. Because they never actually had tissue in the first place. What they had was swelling.
Yeah.
And that swelling can appear as quite a formed lump. You know, it's not squishy and puffy and just like squidgy fat. It kind of, the swelling can be quite, have quite a lot of substance to it and feel like a hard lump.
Yeah.
And then again, even though when tissue does form, it forms in an inflamed state. So you can reduce the size of the lump again by using estrogen control, because you reduce the swelling. I've always said, and I still stand by it, that when you start a cycle with an aromatizing agent, you should automatically run a SERM, usually Novadex or tamoxifen.
Along with the AI, you're saying?
No. See, what I say for most is, unless you have a predetermined idea of what's going to happen with your estrogen levels, start your cycle, add in Novadex.
Okay.
And then at 3 weeks, test your estrogen levels. And then work out your estrogen management from that point onwards.
Okay.
If you're running a very high amount of aromatizing drugs, so you know estrogen is going to be a problem, or you know it's going to be a problem from previous experience,
then
put a baseline of estrogen control in along with Novadex until you do the test. And you ascertain exactly what you need to be doing to manage your estrogen.
Yeah, okay.
The problem is that some people are just naturally sensitive. And even though estrogen may not be particularly elevated from a scale point of view, it doesn't mean that it doesn't cause them issues. And they can't be symptomatic. And in the same way, the opposite. You know, I know people that have had estrogen levels at 300. And had a little bit of water retention, but no sign of any gyno or nipple sensitivity whatsoever. So our individual sensitivity plays a role into this, which is why I like to safeguard in the first place. Because water retention from estrogen and libido issues from estrogen are all reversible. They're not a problem. Gyno from estrogen is surgical. So I would rather make sure that I've got that receptor blocked with Novadex and be more concerned about managing that area than trying to get my estrogen management 110% on the very first hit. Get some in, get it somewhere near, test, and then fine-tune it to where you want it to be.
I like that. And it can be tricky nowadays. I know that, in the US, so many people are using research chems for their anti-estrogens. And I feel like, I don't know if it's the price of the Arimidex. There's some drugs out there that I think people do, like research chems, do a fine job with, or if anything, they may be overdosed. Things like Clen and T3, they're really cheap compounds, and they're, it'd be easy to even dose them high. But I found that there's people that are using UGL, research chemistry type of Arimidex, and they'll end up needing a milligram every day in order to keep it under control. Same guy goes to, a farm grade Arimidex, and they're using, half a milligram twice a week on the same dose of gear. It's like, so I do think that you are at risk. You need to be extra careful because just because, we'll say a half a milligram of Arimidex was perfect for you every other day last cycle. If you're doing the same cycle this time, your batch might even be different on your AI, and that could throw everything, totally into a loop. I had a guy, Dave, who had super high estrogen, and we worked up to, like, I think it was like a milligram every day of Arimidex, and then we switched brands. It was a liquid chem type stuff, and we switched brands, and then all of a sudden we just needed a small amount. So it's like, you got to really be careful with that stuff, man. It could throw you off big time, especially if you're sensitive and that you're prone to gyno. You could really hurt yourself bad quickly.
And the problem is as well that high prolactin, high estrogen, high progesterone all have quite similar side effects. So you can't really go by feel. You need to have a look. It's a habit that people need to get into, is that 3, 4 weeks into a cycle, get your hormones done and have a proper look at where you're sitting, because it's cost effective from your drug management as well.
That's a good point.
And it will point out very early on whether what you've got is genuine or not, because you'll see it in your results. And the more you do it, the more of a picture you'll build up of how your body reacts. And saying that, it is also worth noting that it does change over time. Our tolerance to drugs and the way we react to the drugs can change over time of usage. Probably the biggest drug for that is tren. You'll find people that have been all right on a certain dose of tren, cycle after cycle after cycle, and then they get to a cycle, they use the same dose again, and they have major problems. And yes, some of it can be dosing issues, but the other thing is with tren, as it builds up damage in the brain, there comes a breaking point where that damage then will manifest itself as anxiety and problems.
It's funny, I went the opposite way, that earlier on with tren, I found that I was very sensitive to it, and then later in my use, I became more tolerant of it. I think I just maybe got used to using really high androgens after a while, But I also, you know what, I also probably did dose it a little bit more moderately as I went on at times, so there's that.
I think the other thing is as well, to some extent, you learn what to expect.
That's a good point, isn't it?
So you sort of, you're a bit more prepared. I mean, I get people message me and it's like, oh, I've done this, this, and this, and this has happened, and I'm really worried, and I'm like, yeah, that's just part of taking steroids, it happened. And oh, well, I was really, oh, no, well, I've never experienced it before. Well, you've been lucky then, because most people experience it quite a lot. Stuff like a bad injection or things like that, and people panic thinking that their legs are going to drop off. Just because they've never experienced it before. But once you've been through it, then next time it happens, you know what it is, you don't panic, it's nowhere near as big a deal.
That's probably a big part of it. So back to gynecomastia then. So say somebody does have it, I mean, realistically, no one should get terrible gyno. Like, that you should be able, it shouldn't just, like, it's not going to just happen overnight, right? Like, this is going to be, because I do know people get paranoid. They're like, oh man, and then they're rubbing their nipples constantly, and then their nipples are getting sore because they keep messing with them, and then they think they've got gyno. But in reality, you're not going to just wake up with like a B cup. This
No.
is going to take time, right?
Yeah. I mean, you're probably talking several weeks before even you got any sort of tissue forming. So as long as you're reasonably vigilant, catch it within the first week or two, you should be able to manage any issues that arise. I think the problem is that, like many things in this sport, we overthink and we overanalyze. And you know, we get it with diet, we get it with cycles. They will, you know, you get people that are 130 pounds wet through, analyzing every macro and everything they eat, when really all they need to do is open their mouth and fucking eat.
Good point.
Because
yeah.
they're that small and that skinny that, you know, they could eat pretty much anything they wanted anyway. They just need to get some fucking calories in.
Yeah.
And you get the similar sort of thing with gyno, where people overanalyze it and they are overly paranoid that it's going to mark them down, and they forget that they've got no calves, or their back's shit, or their arms are shit. And it's like, and it's an easy one as a judge. When someone asks you for feedback, it's a lot easier to say, you've got gyno, than to say, your physique's shit, mate.
This is true. Yeah,
you
that's
know?
A good point.
So,
yeah.
I think sometimes, just because you don't want to upset someone's feelings, particularly when they've dieted for a particularly long period of time and everything else they've sacrificed to get on stage, you don't really want to turn around and go, you're shit.
Yeah.
You know, and so you'll look at things you can say that are potentially beyond their control a little bit.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, so you may pick on a structural thing that they can't help, or, you know, something else, just to soften the blow a little bit, because you don't want to break the kid's heart when he stood in front of you.
Yeah, yeah.
The truth is, the only, you know, when you look at pro level's a different ballgame, but when you look at most amateur shows, the range between physiques is so vast.
Yes.
That you're not getting down to brass tacks when it comes to trying to compare a like for like, because. Yeah. Everybody's got outstanding, but also everybody's got weak areas within the physique.
Yeah.
So the gyno may form part of a negative score, but then there'll be plenty of other stuff going on there that's just as bad. And it only really comes into play when you've got two very similar physiques and you're trying to split them. Then you'll go, well, he's beating him because he's got gyno and he hasn't.
Yeah. Yeah. Like if you're substantially better than your competitors, you're going to win, gyno or no gyno. You
know? Unless it's glaringly obvious. And certain federations I know have had a very harsh stance on any obvious drug use.
Ah, that's a good point, yeah.
Because they feel it damages the image of them. So though they don't test, and though they're not a tested natural fed or anything like that, they'll still mark down quite harshly things like gyno or lumps and bumps from batted shots and those sort of things.
Okay. Yeah, that makes sense.
So a lot of it depends on your fed as well, you know, and how harsh the fed is on hitting stuff like that.
Hey guys, I'm going to take just a really brief pause here from this episode of Drugs and Stuff to shout out our sponsor and to shout out Dave Crossland. We'll do it in reverse order. I want to shout out Dave first today. So guys, if you want to learn more about the programs that Dave offers, you can reach out to him either on Facebook or Instagram, or reach out to him at crosslands.org.uk. Dave is a specialist in helping people put on mass. That's his passion. That's what he loves to do. And he would love to help you put on a bunch of muscle. So if that's your goal, if that's what you want to do for 2020, you want to get big, then reach out to Dave because he could definitely help you. He's got affordable programs. And, you know, I know that he really cares about the people that he's working with. So he may have an interesting spin that you haven't thought about before. If you've got a sticking point and you're looking for some help, Dave might be the guy for you. And also, I want to shout out our sponsor, of course, True Nutrition. They've been with us for about a year now. I am so grateful that we have True Nutrition on board with Advices Radio. Now, Dante Trudell, as I mentioned in the Dr. Dean St. Mart episode, he's one of the good guys in our industry. He's one of the people that I know that I can trust. And if he's going to put a product out, it's because he's a good dude and he's going to make it right. He's going to put out something that he believes is going to help. And, you know, to have trust in your supplement companies, it's huge, especially in this industry when there's just so many, you know, come and go flashy stuff. It kind of can drive me crazy the longer I've been around. So I'm grateful for True Nutrition. I'm grateful for the products that they have
high quality proteins, you can get basically any flavor under the sun. And if you're not sure what flavor you want to try, just buy a 1 pound bag of it at a time. You can buy different 1 pound bags of different flavors and try them out. I've been doing that with their oatmeal blends. You know, you could buy a pound of their oatmeal for just a few bucks. And each time I place an order, I just order a couple pounds of that too. In fact, you know, they're shipping at like $5-6 plus our discount. It doesn't cost that much to place an order just to try even their oatmeals. So you can try any of this stuff, you know, in small quantities, figure out what you like. And then if you place a bigger order, I believe it's more than 5 pounds, you get an additional 5% off. So this is close to wholesale pricing already. And then plus you get a discount using Advices and you get the discount for the bulk order. You could really clean up. I'm using all of their pre-workout stuff, like their beta-alanine and their citrulline malate, of course. I mention that all the time. I'm using either their Peri-MD while I train, or I just use their, lemon cake flavor, highly branched cyclic dextrin, along with their EAA and the citrulline malate. I mix that up myself, which basically makes the same thing as the Peri-MD Mountain Dog product, which they sell. So guys, once again, thank you for shopping with True Nutrition and using their code. And thank you to Dave Crossland for putting out, now we're going on almost 40 episodes of all of his thoughts and ideas that he shared so freely to educate and entertain us. All right, guys, let's get back to the show.
So, removal then? You know, what procedure of that? I mean, that's
surgery.
Yeah, so there's a couple aspects of that, I think. I think that, and I can speak from the U.S. perspective here, Dave, that if you want it done well, your best option is to pay out of pocket. I've seen guys who say, hey, you know, I'm going to see if my doctor will cover this. You know, you won't necessarily, just so if you go to a specialist for this to get it removed through your general practitioner and they send you to a, basically they'll send you to a tumor removal specialist, they aren't necessarily concerned about how things look. They're concerned about removing a tumor out of your body, basically is what that comes down to. And so if this is the case, then you may end up deformed. And so for that reason, you want to be careful with picking a doctor that you go to if you were in a situation where you had gyno that needed to be removed. And the best option is to go to really like a plastic surgeon, someone who can remove the gland and do liposculpture, as they call it, around the pec to kind of retain the shape. What can end up happening is you could end up with a chunk taken out in a crater where your nipple is. You know, you'll see an actual chunk, the pec shapes down, and then there's a divot in, you know, if they just hack you. So, you know, they don't want to necessarily remove all the fat either. They want to make it shaped the way it's supposed to be. So that's part of it. What about the UK? How does that work, Dave, if somebody were to go to the doctor?
It's very difficult to get gyno operation done on our National Health Service because it is classed as a cosmetic procedure.
Okay.
So you have to prove that it is causing your severe impairment of the quality of your life. That's difficult. That can take time.
Mm.
So unless you can prove it, it's very painful and it's causing you major discomfort, or that it's physical impact is causing you severe emotional stress, which is not easy to prove,
Then
you're unlikely to get it done as part of the National Health Service. And the vast majority from here will go out into Eastern Europe and have it done over there.
Okay.
That was Mr. Foster.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And have it done over there.
Okay.
And just pay for it. Okay. But it's like I've got Durkheim's disease. It has a few effects, but one of it is I'm covered in lipomas.
Okay.
Got loads and loads of lumps. They can be quite painful.
Okay.
And I've tried to get them removed, and the general consensus is that they are cosmetic.
Hmm.
And so it isn't warranted.
Okay.
And that's sort of the general thing you'll get. I mean, our National Health Service is under a great deal of strain for various reasons. I'm not going to go into all the politic bollocks now.
Yeah.
But the bottom line is they are reluctant to spend money on surgeries or procedures that they don't view as being beneficial from a point of view of healthcare.
Yeah.
And let's face it, gyno does not cause you any ill health.
Right, right.
Yes, you can have a hang up about it. Yes, it can bother you mentally. But proving that that's got a significant impact in your life isn't the easiest thing to do.
So I've got a suggestion for anybody who is considering getting gyno removed. My thought would be, you know, a lot of times it's people that are newer to bodybuilding that think to themselves that, you know, they're thinking like, I want to compete, and they're questioning. These guys, they come to me and they say, hey, should I get this removed before I compete?
If you're gonna compete and see what happens.
Yeah, I was going to say that my thought, yeah, was before you cut into it, if you're in a situation like I just described, diet down at least. Diet down, get rid of the fat, see where you're at from there. Because you may find that it's not an issue once you get into shape. You know, the fatter you are, the more you're going to have a man boob. You know, the leaner you are, the better the shape is going to look. So get the fat off first, see where you're at before you consider, you know, getting any kind of cosmetic procedure taken care of.
I've had a few guys over the years that have, I've got gyno, then they've dieted down and they didn't have gyno, they were just fat folks.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, some people just carry fat around the nipple. It's just how they sit. And it's not until they get, and it really isn't until you're properly lean that you can really ascertain how impacting the gyno is.
True. There is, have you heard the term, well, Dave did say he was going to die, so it may happen on the show here. Dave, have you heard of the term pseudogynecomastia?
To be honest, it's obvious what it is, but I haven't really heard it bandied around, no.
It's what you can get as a teenager. Usually this is something that would occur when you're young, that you can get inflammation from your, you know, high testosterone levels, natural levels that then convert to estrogen. You get those huge spikes. You can get that fatty deposit around the nipple, but then not have any kind of glandular development behind it. So and that would lead to just like a fattier chest. And that's what pseudogyno is. If that was the case, you could have that lipoed out, you know, if you were to say diet down and you couldn't get rid of it, but you should be able to get rid of a good majority of that once you're lean, you know, once you're dry and hard, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I mean, we don't see that many people get properly lean these days.
That's a good point. Yeah.
Because most people get lean and then they compete, when to get really lean, you need to get down and then hold it. Because it is those little bits of stubborn fat that take a few weeks of being lean.
Absolutely.
For your body to finally move them out.
Yeah.
You know, and we don't see the peeled threaded condition as often as we used to.
Yeah.
I mean, it's understandable. I mean, to get that lean is incredibly challenging.
Yes.
Incredibly. I mean, when you get to the point where you're that lean that it hurts to stand because your fat pads on your feet have gone.
Yeah.
And you can't sit because your fat and your ass is gone. You know, that's shredded.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, a lot of people, even that may have some form of mild gyno, can probably still improve it by getting leaner than they are doing.
Yeah. That's a good point. So I think this is some good information. Guys, if you have any further questions on this, you know, feel free to comment on the YouTube page here, or ask questions further in the forum over at Advices Radio on Facebook. Dave, man, I hope you're feeling better soon. This is I hate to see you under the weather like this.
It's just it's been a long week, even though it's only fucking Tuesday. Just got to work all weekend. It's just a cold, mate. It'll pass. I just didn't sleep very well last night, so I'm just a bit jaded today, but it'll pass.
Okay.
But I mean, I'm not important anyway, am I? Because obviously you've just bumped our show for someone else. So.
I didn't even realize it when we set this up. They were like, they'd been talking about, there's West Coast times, East Coast times, and I was like, yeah, I'll be back then. That'll be fine. And I just hear that echoing in my head. That'll be fine. That'll be fine. That'll be fine. And then Dave.
What Dave, you really said was, fuck Dave.
Let me see.
He's not interested.
Okay, I just looked at the text. That's actually exactly what I said.
Yes. See, right. See, this is, I'm abused, the listeners. This, you don't know what goes on when the cameras are off. He's awful to me. He sends me threatening messages and all sorts. He just abuses me.
Yeah, yeah, that's the way it is. As a matter of fact, Ron Partlow is calling me right now, Dave. So I gotta go. Listen, it's been nice talking to you, but I got things to do. I'm kidding. Thank you, as always, for being with us, guys. Head over to crosslands.org.uk. Reach out to Dave. You know, this is the season where we're all trying to gain some muscle. Dave is obviously a guy who can help you with that. And reach out to him on Facebook, of course. Go to truenutrition.com and use our code ADVICES for additional savings. Guys, for another episode of Drugs and Stuff with Dave Crossland, I'm Scott McNally. We will see you soon. RIP, Dave. Oh, man. You all right?
Yeah, it's one of them when it starts. It's difficult to stop it.
Devices Radio Network. We'll be right back.